If you would, my friend, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to remind you that at the end of this teaching, I'll give you an opportunity, those that want to receive Christ and you sense in your heart you want to come back to God or come closer to God or just come to God for the first time, you have an opportunity to do so. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to begin to talk about an account that the Apostle Paul had. He was a man that wrote most of the New Testament. He was not one of the original disciples. He was a man that really was a single man and dedicated his whole life to serve the Lord. But he began to have these revelations and visions, and he began to realize that it was giving him insight into the Scriptures and how we should live. That's why he was the one chosen to write so much of the New Testament. But he began to recognize that and also acknowledge that I'm getting these revelations. And then he began to notice some things. And so he began to realize that he had a thorn in the flesh, he describes it. And he says it's a messenger of Satan. And sometimes that's interpreted that it's a sickness and disease. And that's why some people accept sickness and disease. No. God does not give anybody sickness and disease. It comes from the devil, you all. But sometimes we misunderstand Scripture. We read it in the light of the lens of the human or what we've heard other people say, not the character of God and His Word expressed in Scripture. God is good, and God does not bring any evil on anyone. So let's read this, because it's very important that we talk about having faith in crisis and tapping into the grace of God. Say, the grace of God. Yes, the grace of God. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is where Paul, after he asked Jesus to minister to him and take this thing away, he said, "Lest I would be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh," this is verse 7, "was given to me." Now, if you stop there, you think Jesus has given him a thorn in the flesh. That's why people think about it. They don't read the total context. In fact, on your own, you can notice in this study for yourself, in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55, you'll begin to see that there's an example in the Old Testament when the Jewish people did not deal with their inhabitants of the enemies in the land, and they became thorns in their side. So it was a person who was a thorn to them. Guess what? A demon is a thorn. It's a person. And he can be a nag. And this is important because we're dealing with issues. We're dealing with the things of the world, the uncomfortableness. But also some of that is demonic in its nature. And if we're not careful, we'll accept it as part of this, well, this is the way it is. No. It may be that you'll be attacked, but you can overcome. That's what we talk about, because what God wants to do right now in this season of crisis in this nation, it doesn't have to be a crisis in your life. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a crisis in your life. Let's read it again. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure." See, that's the problem. You know, God don't want him to be exalted. Hold on. Read the Bible, my friend, closely. God says, if you humble yourself, he will exalt you. A man who humbles himself shall be exalted. God's not against you being exalted. He's against you exalting yourself. So it's important that, so Paul was a little concerned about that, and that's why he wrote it the way he did. Notice what it says. "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation." See, he may get the big head. No, God wants him to give him. Jesus giving him the abundance of revelation, my friend. He's not giving him revelation, then send a demon to bother him because of it. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Yes, he humbles himself, and you'll see that more clearly. He understood it. But sometimes we interpret this because sometimes the things that are happening in this world, we know it's demonic in its nature, but it's not God trying to teach us something. We got to be optimistic and encouraging ourselves in the word and truth of God's word and begin to see possibilities. A way of escape, and to thrive and help others. Yes, help others. Let's read it again. "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. If you stop there, you got the wrong answer. A messenger of Satan. Say a messenger of Satan. Yeah, say it again. A messenger of Satan. Not a messenger of God. Not an angel. Not Jesus. It's a messenger of Satan. When did God start using demons to work for him? Never. He's not going to do that. Yeah. So it's the enemy doesn't want him to be exalted even more. Why? He has a bigger platform. He had one already. So the enemy has assigned, was been assigned to him. This is important. When you read the Old Testament, in particular about Daniel, you begin and Ezekiel, you begin to see that there are demons assigned to leaders that have great influence. By the way, there's a demon, probably more than one, but at least one demon assigned to the White House, to the president. That's why they all have challenges. When you, people want to be in the office, realize how difficult it is because demonic forces are targeting those people. Yes. And also, demons will be assigned to people like yourself that are doing significant things, and God's revealing things to you. You're sharing with the sharing the word of God, and you're having a platform. You're being exalted, and God wants to be exalted to have a better platform, and he can trust you. That's why he exalts you. So it's important you see this in context because the revelation, the understanding of the scripture, to see what God wants to do and is doing in your life is important. And he wants to reveal himself more to you, too. That's a good thing. He says here, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Well, it's the Jesus, he's exalting you. He's doing it. You don't want to do it yourself. That's the point. Verse 8. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that I might that it might depart from me. And so we're dealing with stuff at times in our own personal lives. We ask God to deal with it. But what you need to do is do what the Bible said, what Jesus said you should do. I have given unto you a power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And when you do that, operating your God-given authority, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you know Jesus was also tempted and challenged by the enemy? Yes, he came to tempt him. And he left him for a season, the Bible says, which meant he came back again. Like he comes back at you. And what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He didn't accept it. Oh, Father, because I've got to go on the cross and die and I got to suffer. No, you don't see that. Jesus wasn't sick. He wasn't depressed. Yeah. And yet he had demons and the devil himself attacking him and coming against him, trying to deceive him. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Yeah. Can't you see I'll give you all this if you bow down and worship me? No, I'm not doing that, devil. It is written. And he began to quote the word. And that is exactly what you need to do. That's right. That's the biblical pattern. So he says here in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might depart from me. Verse 9. And he said to me, now Jesus is talking now. You know, when you read the book of Job, the first part of the book of Job, you get the impression that God is the one behind causing Job's misery. But you get into the 40th chapters of Job, you begin to read further that Job recognized it was me. My own mouth was getting me in trouble. I begin to talk about things I didn't understand. He says it. And he says, things too wonderful for me. In other words, I didn't realize God was that good. I didn't realize he gave me authority. In fact, he says right there in scripture, God began to say, stand up like a man. Oh, yes. And I will demand of you. He said, I'll demand that you begin to tread on the enemy. That sounds like Luke 10:19. Tread on the enemy. Yeah, yes, yes. That is the pattern. So in God exalts us, give us positions, jobs, authority, voices, to be able to share good things and share the word, yes, and share the love of God and the hope of God. That's not a bad thing, especially when he's exalting you. Yeah, yeah. But those messengers of Satan, the demonic attacks come from the devil, and we should respond to the devil behind it. And that's why Jesus did not respond his three times. He expected Paul to do it, yes, yes. He expected Paul. Yeah, yeah, yeah. to resist the enemy. That's what Jesus did. He just said, God, what you going to do? The devil's bothering me. He's tempting me. No, Jesus spoke the word out of his own mouth. Like you need to speak the word out of your own mouth. Yeah. Baby's being attacked. Satan, get your hands off me. I'm my baby. Lay your hands on your spouse, your children. Yes, yes. Speak life. Say, I will speak life. Say, I will speak life. Yes. Verse 9. And he said to me, my grace. This is the key thing I'm going to talk about. Jesus responded, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. My grace is enough. That is it. He makes it simple. My grace is sufficient for you. Yes. To deal with the situation. When you begin to know that God is good and everything in salvation, everything in God himself, in Christ, is available to you and he's there for you, that's sufficient. Just call him on it. Just believe it. Just receive it. And act like it belongs to you. Yes. The goodness of God belongs to you. The blessing of the Lord belongs to you. The favor of God belongs to you. That's the grace of God. God favors you. You should not feel bad because God favors you. Grace is sufficient. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, he's not saying, well, because you're weak, you know, you kind of stay there. No, his strength begins to be manifested. It becomes perfect. They see it for what it is when you're weak, when I need God the most. That's what he's talking about. And he says, that's what he's saying here. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We depend on God more. By the way, I'm sure some of you maybe seek praying more now. You may have lost your job. You're seeking God for direction. That's not a bad thing. God wants to show himself strong in your life. When you're weak, he wants to show himself strong in your life. Yes. Yeah. That's what he wants. So it's not like God putting stuff on you to make you kind of prove something. Oh, just humble yourself, you know. No, you humble yourself. He's not trying to humble you. He's not through demonic activities and sending a messenger of Satan. That don't even sound right. A messenger of Satan? No, 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 no. God sends angels. They're not demon angels. They're godly angels. Angelic angels. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sent from God. Amen. Verse 9. Jesus responds to him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. And for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we're going to talk about we have weaknesses. Me too. And you too. And we should rely upon God even more. But his grace. Say, his grace. His grace. Yeah. And then he says, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to boast about what? About God. Not a boast that I'm sick and I'm on no money. I'm going to boast in my hope in God. That's why we sing songs. Why don't we have trouble? We're going to bless the Lord today. Yeah. Bless the Lord today. Yes. 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 Even when it's difficult. Bless the Lord today. Yes. And he said to me, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities. That's weaknesses. That's inability to perform. That the power of Christ may rest up on me. Notice the power of Christ. That breaks the shackles. The power of Christ removes the bondages. The power of Christ. Paul saw that and Peter, they were in prison and the shackles were broken off them. Yes. That's what he's talking about. The bondage, the limitations in your life. They're not helping you not do the work of God. We need the grace to do that. And he says, it is sufficient. It's enough by itself, oh God. You know, most people we read about in the Old Testament, the New Testament, that were hearing these scriptures, they couldn't read, you all. They didn't have a college degree. See, sometimes we make it more difficult and challenging. Yes, we should read the Bible to learn more. But if we just say, God, your grace is sufficient for me. I look to you, Lord God. The people that got healed, oftentimes, they weren't learned people. They didn't have a lot of resources. They just put their hope and faith in God. And so God makes it very easy for us. Really, we make it complicated. And then sometimes we find excuses why we don't get the results that God promises us. No, we need to go to say, God, your grace, I'm looking to you. One of the most important teachings and insights I learned from Dr. Oral Roberts many years ago. My wife and I had a chance to visit his house in Newport Beach, California, with some other ministers. And it was powerful. And it was about 3 years or so before he passed away. He died, I believe, around 92 years old. And he began to talk about some insights. One of the things he talked about, even in one of his books, he talked about he made God his source. It's not your job, and we want a job. We need a job. Not your business. God. See, when his grace is sufficient for you, he's your source for everything. Your emotional well-being, he's your source. That's why praising God is not because we're just Christians, we like to just do that. We do it because we bless God. We appreciate him. He's been good to us. He's good when you don't think and feel like you're doing good. Doesn't look like. He's good anyway. And as you exalt him, his name, and bless him, he responds to you. And the grace that's sufficient manifests in your life. God does not make it difficult. Just look to him. God, what you going to do now? I was talking to a lady just yesterday. Powerful. She got laid off, got a salary cut. And so her response was, and it's powerful. She said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And she said, the Lord says, what do you have in your hand? That's what he told her. She told me that yesterday. I was so blessed. Because I called her earlier because there's an organization, really a government agency, looking for a mask. And I heard that she started doing masks, making masks, because she's a seamstress. But she didn't do that before. She made clothing. And so she started doing it and giving them away to people and helping people. And people started ordering. I want some more. I want to buy some. Now, and so when I called her several times the day before, she wouldn't answer the telephone. I kind of thought maybe she was busy, but she said, I talked to her on Saturday, she said, how you doing? I'm tired, Bishop. I'm tired. Because she's working so many hours, getting those masks and selling the masks. She began to use what she had in her hand. Yes. She saw grace in God sufficient. She said, Lord, look to you. What shall I do? And he responded to her and said, what do you have in your hand? And you know what? That same word is appropriate for you and for me. What do you already have? What do you have to work with? Clearly the word of God, but there are things and opportunities and resources, people, access you have already. Too often we overlook it. In fact, there's an example in scripture about the prophet going to the woman that was about to die because it was poor. It was a famine time. And he asked her, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have nothing. Just an old pot and oil, little oil. And so he ended up encouraging her to do some things. She got blessed and obeyed. But my point is that sometimes she had to recognize there was value in her nothing. Yeah. See, God saw value in her nothing. I'm going to say it again. God sees value and opportunity in your nothing. I'm going to say it one more time. Listen, because God's speaking to you. God sees value in your nothing. You know, something you may be ready to throw away. You discard it. It's in the garage. You haven't got to it yet. You get to it later. Get rid of it. You're nothing. What do you have available to you? And so that's part of tapping into the grace of God, my friend, knowing that he'll just make things happen. She asked a simple question. Lord, what do you want me to do? Just go on. So he says here, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, weaknesses, and we all have them. Inabilities, not as smart, not as talented, not good with technology like other people. Inabilities, maybe not multilingual. Inabilities. There's times, my friend, you don't have time to go back and learn another language right now. I mean, you may have to call somebody. You got a number. What do you have at your disposal? Some family, some friends, a neighbor. Yeah, what do you have? When you start letting God come through in your life like that, life becomes enjoyable. Even when you have a problem, a weak point, my friend, God, what are we going to do now? What do you want me to do, Lord? And he begins to say, pivot. Yeah. That's what that lady did, the sister I talked to yesterday. She pivoted, began to use what she had and use it for another application, and I connected her to the manager at the government office that was looking for masks. Powerful. Yeah. What you may have considered nothing, God wants to make it into something. Yeah. Let's go on. And then I just reference this in the 10th verse that it says, when we are weak, then am I strong. When I'm weak, then am I strong. That's what it says in the 10th verse. Yeah. Don't be afraid about the challenges, my friend. I know they're not comfortable, like we're going through right now in this crisis. That's why I labeled this teaching faith in, not faith for. While you're going through, and while you're walking through and overcoming in the crisis, you need faith in God, faith in his grace. Yeah. But I kind of miss it. I haven't been going to church much. I haven't been praying like I should. Don't worry about it. It's not based on what you do. It's grace. I have been tithing and giving to God. It's grace. Come on, my friend. Oh, yes. I may have been a little sin, did some wrong things. I lied, got involved in adultery or fornication or whatever you may have done or didn't do. It's grace. It's sufficient. And it requires faith to see yourself that you're beloved. You're beloved. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace are you saved. Yes. By faith, through faith. Not of works. So it's the grace of God. And when you get saved, my friend, everything that comes with the grace of God, provision, like we favor our children, our family, and our loved ones, God favors you more so than what we can ever do for our own family. He favors you. But you have to have faith in him to favor you. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on what you don't do. It's grace. Say, Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I believe in your grace. Lord, thank you for your grace. It's sufficient for any situation, any challenge I face in my life. You said, my grace is sufficient. Yeah, and he'll talk to you too. So faith in God's grace will get us through this crisis in our nation, allowing us to leave a legacy of a victorious life of faith. This is important. See, tapping into the grace of God will help us get through, because you're going to need the grace and the favor of God to do what you need to do. I'm talking to more and more people. It's powerful. Friends of mine, people in our church, other Christians who are pivoting and doing things where they're in trouble, losing their income, and all of a sudden God's prospering them, and now they become a leader in that new space. Yeah. That sounds like God to me. Or supplying their needs supernaturally. Yeah. And we're the ones that should be trendsetters and problem solvers. But it's the grace that we got to rely upon. If we're overwhelmed by our situation, focused only on our situation, and not thinking about helping others, that's a problem. I'm not saying, man, crisis mode, you got to take care of the kids and so forth. I get that. But what about, Lord, we can at least pray for somebody else. Lord, how can I help somebody else, a neighbor? Who can I bless? Yeah, and then beyond that, because if you're waiting for the pandemic to pass away before you start hearing God and taking steps in that direction, you may be too late. Yeah, I'm going to say that one again. If you're waiting to step out and obey God after the pandemic is passed away and they say it's time to get out of your house, take off the mask, you can hug people now, whatever however it works out, Yeah, come back to church again. You gonna wait till then? You may be too late. Yeah, timing is everything. You know, there's a book I want to recommend to you to read called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell. It's a book that deals with, really it's a study of successful people. And this book deals with the patterns. It's a research study, and it gives powerful insight about how people endure, for example, during the Great Depression and former pandemics and major economic problems in the world, and where many, many people died, more so than what's dying now. It was powerful. And it began to say how you handle those crises determines where you go after that, and also it can mark your children today. If we're depressed, worried, hiding out in a little corner of watching TV 24/7, letting that be your lifestyle, not really saying, Lord, who can I encourage? What do you want to read? What should I work on, develop some things? I've used my skills. However he's talking to you, start now. And now with online streaming, not just online streaming, but also online communication through video conferencing and so forth. If you don't know how to do it, what do you have in your hand? You got a phone, you got an address book, call somebody, email somebody, ask for some help. Yeah. That's what God told the prophet to tell the lady. Go to your neighbors, borrow some pots. And he said, not a few. Not a few. Why? Because God thinks abundance. Yeah. God thinks more than enough. Yes. This is not some preacher talking, my friend. This is the word of God I'm talking to you and sharing with you. God said in Psalms 115, I will increase you more and more, you and your children. Don't sound like lack and not enough to me. That's all throughout Scripture. Yeah, it's all throughout Scripture. So we should leave a legacy. So this book, again, talks about sometimes it's not just because you're smart. Smart people can do well. But being smart mentally is not enough. It's the culture you embraced. Yeah. And some people are born in a culture in their family that facilitates success and achievement. The parents are advocates for them. And they don't say, well, Johnny got a C, and okay, that's the best you can do. No, how can Johnny get an A? And what else, any extra credit Johnny or Susie can do? That's a culture. So now the child learns, don't accept the first no or something that's unacceptable to you and accept that. No. God's grace is sufficient. Lord, what can I do? And then all of a sudden you step in, you ask questions. They talk about asking questions of authority, training your children, not to be disrespectful, but to ask questions of authority. That means your teachers. Yeah. If you're a student and don't ever ask questions, it's then you don't get what you need because you're ashamed. I feel like I'm stupid. Do you know more progressive people and smart students, they always ask questions, you all? Yes. But it's a culture we have to tap into. Now, the key, if you haven't had that, well, maybe you had a better family than I have, Bishop, whatever. No, it's an average family in South L.A. My mom was poor. We were poor. We're on welfare. But I got a culture and a mindset of the kingdom. Yeah. Of the promises of God. I began to realize that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And then he says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is Christ the Lord? That's verse 5. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That has to mean that he's sufficient for you. Look to him. His solution, his pathway is enough. Yes. Say, God's grace is sufficient for me. What I like about the way he said it is just you don't need to add nothing to it, Ed. Just tap into the grace and expect it to work for you. So again, what Malcolm Gladwell talks about is looking for ways and also preparation. Let me talk about this. That's why I said don't sit in the house and don't do nothing. Begin to prepare yourself for the next level, what God has in store for you and the people you will minister to, serve, provide, There's always a people God got in mind for you. There's always a people God has in mind for us to minister to and help. Because what happens, he talks about people that didn't prepare themselves, maybe doing a career or a business type that it really wasn't valuable at that time and it wasn't making much money. All of a sudden, there's a pivot in the economy. And now what you offer is in great demand. Yeah, yeah. Or you do it differently. Maybe the same thing, but you do it a little differently. Or to another industry segment. Yeah. Like I mentioned about my friend who, in the restaurant business, talked to his president just earlier this week. Powerful. They're so excited. They now pivoted. Yeah, they plan to go back to the restaurants, the clean restaurants, but many restaurants are not open. What are they doing now? They're serving commercial companies. Yeah. They need cleaning. Many of them still have employees coming. And also industry and factories. And they have chemicals that are proven that will help provide the cleaning. And it's a powerful opportunity. They plan the franchise. I love it. I love it. Oh, God. He's a believer. Loves God. He's not waiting for a phone call. No, 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 no. And see, our children need to get this because how we handle this, our children see us. Mommy and dad, they just kind of sat in the chair and watched TV and, you know, and talked about one another about how bad it is and hope it don't hit us. And then talk about another one died, and some neighbor died, a coworker died. All those kids here is death. We look to God with faith in God and realize His grace, His grace. So you don't have to be perfect. That's what I'm talking about. I missed an opportunity. Okay, that's spilled milk, y'all. Let that stay there. God, what do you have me to do right now? Where are you taking me? See, that's what grace. He makes up for the mistakes. He makes up for the lost opportunity. He makes up. You didn't finish school. He makes up for that. You don't have enough money. He makes up for that. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You got to see it's enough for whatever you need God to do in your life. You know what? And said, my grace is made strong in weakness. I love it. I love it. God is saying, I'm showing myself strong. It says that in Scripture. The Bible says God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong for find people who he can show himself strong through. Yes. Can you raise your hand, God? I'll be one of those ones. You will show yourself strong, even when I'm weak. Maybe business is down when I'm weak. Maybe not enough money to do this or do that when I'm weak. It could be a physical challenge. Whatever, when you're weak. Yes. It's so wonderful we see this. Excuse me. His grace is sufficient. So we should see this crisis that we're in as an opportunity to minister to people. I had an association meeting with a pastor, one of our pastors, and he has his church now in his house, which is fine. It's a small church. He was prompted of the Lord. See, he realized God's grace was sufficient for him. I don't have a building. I don't have a big congregation. But my grace, what shall I do? I tell you what, go out there in front of your lawn and begin to share Jesus. Have some Christian music. He said he started with Christian music, praise and worship. Neighbors came out on their lawns and listened. Got their little lawn chairs. It was powerful. Across the street, down the street, cars driving by. Yes. And he began to minister. See, God's grace. I don't have this, don't have that. Just use what you have. You got a lawn, don't you? You got a little speaker with a lawn cord? Turn that up. Worship God. The people, his neighbors, were so excited. They were tired of staying in the house, too. And then they began to give him offering. He didn't even receive an offering. They just gave it to him. Look at God. He did it to bless people. And God began to bless him as well in so many ways. Say my grace. Say God's grace. Say God's grace is sufficient for me. Yeah. He can move. He can make a way where there's no way. He can make a crooked way straight so it's clear for you. That's the God we serve. let me just touch bases, and I have more to share, but I want to be sensitive to time. But the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 7, let me just kind of talk a bit about it, and we'll get into it next time. The Bible says that we live in this body. Paul's talking, he's going through a discourse. And he says, when I would do good, I don't do good. When I want to do good, I end up doing bad. I do something not good. You know, like maybe a little tension with someone. Maybe, you know, they kind of get a little anxious and they say something to you. It may not be a curse word, maybe a little hit you down or whatever. And then you respond. And you respond in kind. So you would like to not respond that way, but you end up, you know what, you cross the line, boom. Things like that. And especially now that we're living in close quarters for hours and hours and hours. Do you know, you probably heard about it, more families now are higher rates of domestic violence. Yeah, because people don't handle the stress and being with one another and the misunderstandings and things like that. And it's because of where we are right now. And really, we're born in sin. It's in our flesh. Even as Christians, we're born again in our spirit, but we got to deal with this flesh. That's part of the weaknesses you got to deal with. But guess what? God says, my grace is sufficient. God, I'm sorry I talked out of turn. I'm sorry I got on her case. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay. And then ask God to forgive you. And don't think, well, it's lost forever. No, you start walking in love toward them and pray for them and bless them and encourage them and see how God moves on your behalf. His grace is sufficient. Don't think it's over because it looked like it's over. His grace is sufficient. Yes, to solve any problem. Say, God's grace is sufficient to solve any problem. Restore any relationship in my life. You know, the Bible also says about don't judge. Yeah. This would help us because sometimes we cross the line with people and we make, really, oftentimes it's a judgment about how well they did and what have you. It may come up a little hard and we may not do it on purpose, but it comes across and they're offended and so forth. I understand. But see, God, we can help ourselves by understanding God's telling us don't do that. But sometimes we do. That's the weakness piece. So my point is this. You won grace when you cross the line and mess up. Guess what? How are you going to get more of that? You need to give more grace to other people. Give grace. Why is that important? Because it follows a biblical law. You reap what you sow. You want more grace? You start being a grace giver. Favor, support, encouragement. And you'll receive more of that in your life. And believe it. And say, God, your grace is sufficient. Maybe the person you're giving grace to, they don't respond like you in kind. Don't worry about them. They're not your source anyway. God started using other people to give you favor and give you grace. One person, then maybe they're not there yet. Don't make it worse. They're not your source. You want the favor of God in your life to impact every area of your life. So it can be about your Father's business now and after this pandemic. Yes. If you get frustrated, mad at the president, mad at the government because the checks were late and all that. I understand. We got to keep focus on God. God, Jesus, your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. I remember it was Brother Kenneth Hagin. Minister to me. In fact, it's out of scripture. The Lord's talking to him because he saw a preacher that wasn't doing right, wasn't living right, in fact. And people were talking about it, and he began to chime in as well. And God checked him and said, who are you to judge another man's servant? It's in the book of Romans, chapter 14. Read it on your own. Yeah. Who are you to judge another man's servant? I call that man. But Lord, he's not doing this. He said this is powerful. This is why these weaknesses we have to understand, we have them too. It's in the flesh, not in our spirit, in our flesh. We got to deal with stuff. Our body's not redeemed yet. Jesus said this to him. What makes you think if he had the same experience that he'd had in life, growing up, the same circumstances that he's dealing with right now, that you would do any better? Shut him up. Plus, he said, don't judge another man's servant, judge other people anyway. But he made it under, see, now he got some empathy because people get marked by, people being marked by this crisis. There'll be people that'll be hard to work with because when they get out of this crisis, they didn't do what they should have done during the crisis. And now they're fearful, even more so. They're hoarders, even more so. Not givers. You don't know when another one's coming. Even more so. And yeah, you may think, well, okay, there's the economy is doing good. No, you never know. You never know. And they're a friend or employee or someone like that or a family member. Give them grace. Give them grace. Because God may use them to be part of what God wants to do in your life down the line. Yeah. I trust this is ministering to you. We need the grace of God, my friend. And we need to give grace. As we receive the grace of God, extend that to other people. Not just Christians. People you don't know. People you don't know. Help somebody. Do something good. That should be how we live our lives. But I may need this later. Give them a roll of toilet paper, maybe two. Yeah, they don't have any. You find out they don't have any or they're really low. Help them out. Or check on, do you need more? I'm going to the store. I'll buy some for you. Yeah. My friend, God has spoken to us today. I say us because he spoke to me. Around 12 o'clock this morning, after a little bit after 12, God began to wake me up. I was in and out of bed writing it. And at 1:30, he began to speak about this message, in particular about the thorn in the flesh, and that Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. But by grace are you saved. So the grace that we're talking about is not even yours until you receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God in your life. I want to give you that opportunity right now, right where you are, however you're watching, on your computer, on your tablet, on your phone, maybe on your television, however you're watching, I want to encourage you. Little hand, little bar, blue, orange bar there, indicate, yes, I want to receive Christ. Yeah, yes, that's what, yes. I'm going to pray with you, but be ready to do that. Repeat after me. And even those who may want to recommit or rededicate your life to Christ, you want to put God first. Maybe even kind of putting God, you've got caught up in what's going on in the world, maybe angry, putting people down or what have you, not responsive. However, you judge yourself. I don't want to judge you. You determine if you need to recommit your life to Christ. If that's you, I want you to be a part of this as well. Dear Father God, I come to you just as I am. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ came to this earth and then died on the cross for me. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. Thank you, Father, for restoring me. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you, Father, for blessing me. Now say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me your grace. Oh, yes. Now forget about the stuff that may have went wrong, what happened, maybe some stuff behind, and you deal with issues. Trust God to work it out. The grace, you start finding yourself, that's worked out. Some stuff you don't need to pray about. God just, it's his grace. Come on. The stuff you forgot about, you should have prayed about. It's grace. God's going to handle that for you. Just trust him as your source.